Good evening, everybody.
I love it.
I'd like to call the meeting of the legislature to order. And tonight, after we do the pledge, we're going to stand for a moment of silence for all those affected by the Los Angeles wildfires, including all of the first responders who have been working tirelessly to control the fires and provide essential aid to those in need. Legislator Litz, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
It would be my honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There are some announcements tonight. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings and of the organizational meeting. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphone when speaking so that you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Clinton.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Guevaris.
Present.
Green.
Here.
Hansett.
Here.
Harmon.
Here.
Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts.
I am here.
Sperry.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
You should tell.
Here.
And Walsh.
Here.
There are 23 present and 0 absent. This evening we have 2 public hearings, and I would like to call the first one to order at 6:39. Our first public hearing this evening is on proposed local law number 19 of 2024, a local law regulating the use of county parking lots. And we will use our standard 2 minutes of time. There are 2 speakers signed up for this hearing, and the first speaker is former legislator Laura Petit.
I remember the very first time I was in front of this legislature. I was in my late 20s, and I was so terrified. And Mr. Benjamin was sitting right there just listening to me, and I'm like, they're looking at me. But I am here. Thank you. My name's Laura Petit. I live in the town of Esopus. I had been a former member of the legislature, and I volunteered on several committees. And it is dangerous not to come here with a whole pocket full of quarters. So I would like you to support and pass this legislation when you have the opportunity. It gives people using this building, I don't want to say the right, but when they come in, they're conducting county business, they would get their coupons validated and be able to leave. There should be a whole different dynamics to the costs involved. It shouldn't be one of the local attorneys parking his electric vehicle at the pump all day, and somebody else just mentioned they saw a car that looks like it's been in the parking lot for over a month now. So it should be as it's intended. It should be for public use. And then after that, it can be a free-for-all. The gates open up at night, and they can attend their local establishments and support local business. But So I hope you support this resolution. Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is Rachel Gans.
Hi, my name is Rachel Gans, and I live in the town of Rosendale. And regarding proposed local law 19, and I appreciate that it's frustrating to come into the county building and work for work or business and not have available parking, but I think proposed local law 19 adds too much policing to an issue that was caused in part by this body, who did not do more to prevent widespread gentrification without adequate countrywide planning, including decent public transportation. The proposed local law includes all county buildings, but we know that there's no issue with parking at county buildings outside of here in the gentrified uptown Kingston business district, and possibly in the gentrification in the works area of Midtown Broadway. Don't add laws where none are needed. Don't give more authority to sheriffs and police officers to abuse power by codifying what is really an annoyance and not a safety concern. Also, instead of working on this law, keep turning all your focus to work on to the work that ensures homes for the unhoused, ensures clean water for future generations, and ensures healthy food for us all. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak at this public hearing regarding proposed local law number 19? Is there anyone else here that wants to speak? We don't have anybody online. Legislator Litz, I think you might have a job here.
Madam Chair, Madam Clerk, I would like to adjourn the public hearing, make a motion to do so.
And is there a second? Legislator Kitchen. All in favor?
Aye.
The public hearing is adjourned. Our second hearing at 6:43 tonight is on the naming county-owned asset, naming the second floor of the county office building, the Ulster County Clerk's Office and Nieder Posterpeck Historical Center. We do have one speaker signed up for this public hearing, and that is Butch Denner.
Good evening, folks. Nina, Vicki and I have a bet. What's the over-under on me tearing up? I lost already. I seem to be an expert on naming things because years ago I named a bridge in Newport for Carmine Liberta, a local war hero and great man about town. And one of the best things about naming it for Carmine is until she stopped driving at 94, his widow would drive past the bridge and blow kisses at the plaque of Carmine. And she'd turn around with her aunties, come back, blow kisses, and then she'd go back home. So I know that the symbolic naming is of a building or a bridge is much more than just the symbolic naming. It gives comfort to a lot of people. And a lot of you folks are younger than when I first came to this legislature as a speaker or as a friend of the people. And the younger people in the future may not realize what a mensch Nieder Posterpeck was. I'm going to skip over all the Boys and Girls Club, all the Italian American Club, all the other things that we all know about. But as a liver transplant recipient, 19 years, 8 years on the list, Nina and Duane were with me every inch of that journey. When she first heard that I got sick, we were friends from politics. In those days, there were two parties in Ulster County that actually had races back and forth and discussions. And I was a young pre-transplant feisty Republican chairman in Newport. Believe it or not, there were Republicans in Newport. And I used to have different events, and we would have Nina come, and she was always a speaker. She was always a role model. She was always a person who led by example. Her humility, of course, is well known. And if she knew I was here speaking today, boy, would she be mad. But for an organ recipient who's given the miracle of life to walk into his DMV and see everybody wearing Donate Life shirts and registering people and helping other people live. Every time I asked Nina to speak, Nina was there. Every time. When we would have events, the flag raising, she would call me. She was my inspiration for public service, and I was her inspiration on this issue. I was also a black sheep in the Republican Party, because I was from Newport, maybe because I was a long-haired kind of guy. But whatever it was, I was more irreverent than most of the party liners. And I would call Nina up during the week after something would happen, and we'd have the most irreverent off-the-record phone calls about this or about that. And the one issue that bugged me all the time was the lack of recognition of Nina as a woman role model, as a woman leader. She was never given the due that was due her. She did it quietly, but she was the first, and she was the best. And I remember one time a certain party chairman that put Nina and all of her tables in the second room at a convention. And she never said anything, you know, Nina, very nice, went along with it until I heard about it from her sister, who shall not be named here. And I went to the chairman and I said, in those days, I was young and feisty. And I said, how many ads have I sold? How many tables have I sold? Nina goes back in the main room, well, all those tables are gone. Well, took me a long time to tell her that because she was so happy she was moved into the main room. But that was the way she was. She never made it stink. She just did her job for each and every person. When the Gilded Otter would call me and say they had a problem with somebody with immigration, I called Nina. She put me to the right person. When someone's kid had to have their driver's license this week or they would explode, I called Nina, and it happened. She cared about everybody in Ulster County. She was a hell of a lot less partisan than I was, and I loved her for it, and she taught me more about serving the people than anybody else. And I had a lot of great teachers. So please, even though tonight is for the second floor, in my heart, it's for the whole building. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, dear.
I was just about to cut you off.
Yeah.
That was the only person signed up. Is there anyone signed up to anyone else who would like to speak on this topic?
The naming the second floor. Anyone else who would like to speak in the room? Still no one online. Legislator Litz.
Madam Clerk, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second, Legislator Kitchen. All in favor?
Aye.
The public hearing is adjourned. The next item on our agenda is the nomination of a temporary chair of the legislature to run the next portion of the meeting. Are there any nominations for a temporary chair of legislature? Legislator Levine.
Yes, thank you, Madam Clerk. I would like to nominate Legislator Abe Uchitel for the position of temporary chair of the Ulster County Legislature.
Is there a second?
Thank I would you. Like to second that nomination, please.
Thank you so much, Legislator Sperry. Are there any other nominations for a temporary chair? Any other nominations for a temporary chair? And by the rule and law, I have to ask one more time. Any other nominations for a temporary chair of the legislature?
Motion to close nominations.
We shall close nominations. And is everyone in favor of Legislator Uchitel being the temporary chair? Any objections? Legislator Uchitel, you are the chair of the legislature at the moment.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk and my colleagues. So I have the honor tonight of opening nominations for a chair, for a full chair, for the remainder of 2025. And with that, I will ask, are there any nominations for chair of the legislature? Legislator Sperry.
Thank you, Legislator Uchitel. Temporary Chair Uchitel. I would like to nominate Peter Criswell as our chair. Over the past year, Peter has proven that he is a motivated leader who embraces each challenge as an opportunity to learn, grow, and collaborate with his colleagues. In the past year, I've observed numerous moments where Peter has proven that he takes the role of legislative chair seriously, and I'd like to take a few minutes to revisit Peter's accomplishments in 2024. First, I'd like to highlight his dedication to service. Peter brings a strong work ethic, a commitment to integrity, and a passion for public service to the role of chair. As for community engagement, he represented the legislature in numerous events and functions throughout the year, building strong connections with the community and fostering transparency. Also, a collaboration with local leaders, Peter has built strong relationships with town supervisors, village and city mayors, and other local leaders to promote cohesion and partnership across the county. There's also been a focus on core legislative functions. As chair, he has strengthened the committee structure by supporting chairs and deputies, ensuring effective and efficient governance, and a commitment to bipartisanship. Peter has continuously demonstrated dedication to constructive dialogue and working across the aisle to address the needs of our constituents. A track record of results. As chair, Peter spearheaded initiatives that have had tangible, positive impact on Ulster County residents, including addressing critical issues like supportive housing, infrastructure development, and mental health supports. With all that being said, I think we can agree that Peter Criswell has a strong record of proven leadership. In my opinion, he has successfully served as chair of the legislature for the past year, fostering collaboration and driving meaningful progress on key initiatives. Once again, I'm happy to nominate Peter Criswell as our chair.
Thank you, Legislator Sperry. There's a nomination for Legislator Criswell for chair. Is there a second for that nomination? Deputy Majority Leader Levine.
Thank you, temporary chair. You should tell. I am pleased to second the nomination of Peter Criswell to continue in the role of chair of the Ulster County Legislature for the 2025 session. Over the past year, Peter has led the legislature admirably and amicably, fostering consensus on issues, listening to comments and concerns from all legislators and members of the public, and following through on his promise of bipartisanship by appointing three minority caucus legislators as committee chairs. Peter also understands the pressing issues currently facing our county, and he has worked to address them by establishing committees and working groups to address housing, fiscal equity, and land use. I know Peter intends to continue working with all legislators, regardless of party, to make progress on each member's priorities in order to ensure that this legislature is as productive and successful as it can be. There is much critical work ahead of us in 2025, and with Peter as our legislative chair, I am supremely confident we will accomplish the people's business in a collaborative and efficient manner. For these reasons, I am proud to second his nomination.
Thank you, Deputy Majority Leader Levine. Are there any other nominations? Deputy Minority Leader Lopez.
Yes, temporary chair, thank you. I'm proud to nominate Ulster County Legislator Kevin Roberts for chairman of the Ulster County Legislature. Kevin has served with distinction for 17 years, bringing invaluable experience and strong record of leadership. As a former chairman of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, he has consistently championed recycling, stood firm against landfills, and been vocal and has been a vocal advocate for waste to energy solutions, priorities that reflect his commitment to sustainability and the future of our environment. Kevin's leadership has always been driven by fairness and a deep sense of responsibility for every resident of Ulster County. He will allocate services equally throughout the county and ensure that taxpayer dollars are spent wisely, standing firmly against wasteful projects like those seen with Elizabeth Street and Samadhi. In addition, Kevin will treat all employees with the respect they deserve and always prioritize the interests of the taxpayers. His focus on responsibility, transparent governance, and his dedication to fairness will serve Ulster County well. For these reasons, I wholeheartedly nominate Kevin Roberts for chairman of the Ulster County Legislature and encourage my fellow legislators to support Legislator Roberts as well.
Thank you, Deputy Minority Leader. So there's a nomination for Legislator Roberts on the floor, and I'd like to recognize Legislator Litz to second.
Yes, temporary chair, you should tell. It is my honor and privilege to second the nomination of Kevin Roberts as chairman.
Thank you, Legislator Litz. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? All right, and with that,
I'll make a motion to close the nominations.
All right, so moved, second by Legislator Levine. Do I take a vote on closing nominations? No. Okay, so nominations are closed. We have two nominees. We're going to do a roll call vote. legislators will speak the name of the candidate that they wish to support for chair when they're called upon in the roll call vote. Clerk Pravella, would you please take the roll?
So it'll either be Legislator Criswell or Legislator Roberts when I call your name. Clinton.
Legislator Criswell.
Collins.
Legislator Criswell.
Corcoran.
Legislator Roberts.
Criswell.
Criswell.
Donaldson.
Legislator Criswell.
Guevaras.
Legislator Criswell.
Green.
Legislator Criswell.
Hansett.
Legislator Roberts.
Harmon.
Legislator Criswell.
Hewitt.
Legislator Criswell.
Kitchen.
Legislator Roberts.
Kovacs.
Legislator Roberts.
Levine.
Criswell.
Litz.
Legislator Roberts.
Lopez.
Roberts.
Maloney.
Kevin Roberts.
McCullough.
Legislator Criswell.
Nolan.
Legislator Criswell.
Roberts.
Roberts.
Sperry.
Legislator Criswell.
Stewart.
Legislator Criswell.
Uchitel.
Legislator Criswell.
And Walls.
Legislator Roberts.
Once again, by a vote of 14-9, the chair of the legislature is Peter Criswell.
Congratulations.
Thank you for electing me as your chair. It's truly an honor to step into this role once again, and I'm deeply grateful for the trust you've placed in me. Reflecting on the past year, I want to acknowledge the incredible teamwork, dedication, and commitment that have allowed us to make meaningful progress together. I'd like to take a moment to recognize some key contributors, Majority Leader Abe Uchitel and Deputy Majority Leader Aaron Levine. Your guidance and collaborative spirit have been invaluable, and I look forward to continuing our partnership. Minority Leader Kevin Roberts and Deputy Minority Leader Craig Lopez, I appreciate your commitment to constructive dialogue, and I remain dedicated to working across the aisle to address the needs of all our constituents. Vice Chair Sperry, your wise counsel and steady leadership have been a cornerstone of our progress this past year. I'm grateful for your partnership and look forward to continuing our work together. To our committee chairs and deputy chairs, you are the engine that drives the core of our work. Your leadership and dedication are essential to everything we accomplish as a legislature, and I deeply value your contributions. And to all legislators, thank you for your time, energy, and the unique perspective you bring to this vital work. I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the committed staff of the legislature, whose contributions often go unnoticed, but without whom we quite literally could not do this work. Thank you. Thank you. This chairmanship, as I said last year, is not about me. It's about us. And more importantly, it's about our constituents. As we embark on this new year, let's recommit ourselves to the principles that guide our work. Let's approach every discussion and debate with respect, every challenge with creativity, and every decision with the long-term well-being of our community in mind. Together, we have the power to navigate the complex issues before us and create a brighter future for Ulster County. Thank you once again for this honor, and I look forward to continuing our productive and collaborative work as your chair. Thank you. All right, on to the meeting. So I'm pleased to announce the following designations are on file. Majority Leader Abe Uchitel, District 5, and Minority Leader Kevin Roberts, District 12. Congratulations, Majority Leader Uchitel and Minority Leader Roberts. On behalf of the entire legislature, I thank you both for your dedicated leadership. Thank you. Birthdays. Legislator Gina Hansett, January 12th. Congratulations.
I ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous meeting minutes.
Move to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
All in favor? Any opposed? Passes. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office that remain available for inspection by those interested in contacting the office. All right. At this time, we will move into a period of public comment. This is regarding resolutions on the agenda. So I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. There will be time to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening, toward the end of the session. If you need to look at the agenda, we have a QR code available that you can see what the agenda is. Clerk Favela, do we have anyone signed up for public comment?
There is no one signed up for this
slot. So is there anybody who would like to speak on speak in public comment on issues before the legislature this evening? Yes, I see one person. Thank you.
Thank you again, Laura Petit, Town of Esopus. Under the standing committees, I see that you have an option and are now looking at creating a very separate housing and transportation committee. This has been a long time coming. I'm sorry it didn't happen 6 or 8 years ago. There is a lot to do in Ulster County. Rents are just incredibly high, more so than a mortgage. And there's people in my town who are losing housing because older landlords are selling, and the houses are going for over $400,000. So please, when you're looking at the standing committees, be sure to keep housing and transportation in there. And thank you very much for finally doing that.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? Second call, and a third call. Seeing none, I'm going to move us forward. At this point, I'm going to appoint Majority Leader Uchitel as chair of the committee as a whole. Thank you, Majority Leader.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. So just for those wondering what's going on right now, so now that we've elected a chair, the chair is going to select committee chairmanships. Before the committee chairmanships can be selected, we have to actually establish what the committees are. Our legislature has a rule that every resolution has to go through committees, including the resolution to establish the committees. So we have a thing called the Committee of the Whole, which everybody here is a part of. We only use it in rare instances. Tonight is one of those instances. Chair Criswell has appointed me chair of that, and I'm now going to run a committee meeting that happens to have the exact same members of the entire legislature, and we have two resolutions on the agenda. And with that, our committee of the whole is now open. I'm going to ask for a motion to adopt resolution number one, creating the standing committees for the year of 2025. Do I have a motion to adopt? Moved by Legislator Sperry, seconded by Legislator Levine. Is there any discussion on resolution number one? Minority Leader Roberts.
Yes, I look forward to serving, and the Minority Caucus looks forward to serving on all these committees. I think the chairman made a good move by creating the housing and transportation. We have a lot of work to get done. I look forward to working on the other side. I know we were promised some services in Southern Ulster County. I'm just going to take a minute to second to bring that up. We do have a need for a warming center in the New Paltz area. It'd be a good time to start discussing that in the first committee meeting come February. Thank you.
Thank you, Minority Leader Roberts. Any other discussion? Yep, Legislator Collins.
I want to thank the chair for creating the Housing and Transportation Subcommittee. I've been the chair of the subcommittee on housing for the last 6 to 9 months. That's been a start, but it doesn't have quite the power of a full committee. It doesn't have the ability to have more than three legislators at that committee meeting. Otherwise, it becomes a quorum for a different committee. So I really appreciate the fact that we're making this a strong focus of the county. I think it goes along with what the executive has done by appointing a housing and homelessness director also. Thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you, Legislator Collins. Any other discussion on resolution number one? Legislator Maloney.
Just with regards to the housing,
I've heard not a single idea come out of this body besides enriching developers, which I assume is what we'll kind of do even more of. So that'll be great. As far as the homelessness part, it's so very different than housing. It's a different kind of housing, whether it's going to deal with that or not. Maybe at that point, whoever serves in that committee, maybe will make their first venture into one of these many shelters and hotels around the four counties, if you count our own, where people are living in absolute filth, squalor, and crime. Maybe that'll come out of that committee. So hopefully, at the very least, let's actually go out there and see what's going on. I fear this is going to result in more of our hard-earned tax dollars going to billion-dollar developers. That will become a lottery. Our problem will get worse. You know, when I look at this body and I've watched it function for years now, I can't help but see the parallels to what so many Californians are going through. And having a supermajority of one party with no checks and balances becomes so dangerous, so inefficient, and so corrupt. And I just can't sit here and smile like my colleagues and pretend everything's okay and pretend we're doing a good job and use all these great phrases. Because we failed, we do nothing. We don't question an executive who absolutely has no idea what she's doing in every major way, and it's just sad. I hate to be the turd in the punch bowl like always, but this place is an absolute joke. And when people ask me how the legislature is going and what I see, I tell people, get out of New York, get out of Ulster County, get out now while your house is still worth something. And I thank you, because that's basically what I've gotten out of serving up here, is I'm in more of a hurry to get the hell out of Ulster County in New York State and watch it burn from afar. So back to your celebration, everybody.
As chair of this committee, can I speak as I do in chairing other committees? So I'll speak as a member. Is there anyone else who wants to speak? Yep, Legislator Nolan, followed by Green.
Yeah, I just would like to point out that I think that the investments that the Ulster County has made in housing over the past several years are within the next year or two going to start to result in people who have permanent housing made available to them who are currently homeless. And the total number of housing units that are going to be created with those investments is hundreds, not a few tens or twenties, but hundreds of high quality, affordable places to live for children, for families, for individuals. I think that this has been a really important and powerful action of this county as we've had federal monies come in and as our earned income from the activities of our economic development initiatives in the county have resulted in more tax dollars for us. And I especially appreciate Legislator Uchitel's leadership on the housing issue. I had the pleasure and good fortune to work on one of the subcommittees in a prior year looking at emergency housing and homelessness, and all of those issues are really, really hard. So for our county to take them on, to come up with a plan, to move the plan, fund it, and now have those projects under construction is, you know, they're not here yet, and so I can't, you know, look to put somebody in a house tomorrow. But I don't have to think that there are going to be people that are housed in hotels or that are housed in other counties for years into the future, because very soon we're going to have number of housing units or living units coming online that is equal to the number of people that we're currently serving for homelessness. So really something that I feel quite proud of in my time in this legislature.
Thank you, Legislator Nolan. Legislator Green.
First of all, I absolutely support the creation of this committee, but I think what the scientists are telling us is that climate change is going to is causing the poles to melt, and that's going to cause sea level rise. What that's going to mean for us is that people will be fleeing from the shoreline communities, the greater New York metropolitan area, and I think we're the first line of defense, and I think we're going to have to prepare for that. So in addition to already having a housing shortage and severely escalating prices that this committee is going to have to deal with, I want them to think about the influx of people from areas that are going to be threatened. And I would be willing to serve on the new committee if the chair feels that that's appropriate. Thank you.
Yep, I've got Legislator McCullough followed by Collins.
Thank you. I've been on the Housing Committee and also Public Works, which includes transportation, and I would love to continue to be part of this combination committee. And I do go out to the motels, the Walman Center, and visit these places. And if and when we consider open a Walman Center in New Park, I strongly suggest that we do more than just opening a place for people to sleep. We must, although it's housing, we should not forget the mental health part of it, people's health. Have programs like that come to where the people are. They do that right now at the Walman Center here on Elmendorf Street, and people, some of the folks staying there have gotten housing, I think three or four of them. Some went to rehab. So we have to make sure that we don't just house people. Thank you.
Legislator Collins.
Thank you. It's really easy to criticize what may have been happening in the past, really easy to say that there's been fault in the past, and that may or may not be true. I don't know. I've only been here for a year. But what I do know is that we are looking forward to create solutions. That's what this legislature is doing. That's what we've been doing. That's what we've done the last year. That's what the subcommittee on housing's done. That's what we've funded millions and millions of dollars of to make sure that there's more housing for homeless and for those people who need emergency housing. We are working on solutions, and they're not easy solutions. They're difficult solutions, and they take time to make happen. And I want to actually applaud this legislature for taking action for housing. Some places don't. We are, and we're really focused on that. We understand the issue, working on it, and that is shown by the chair creating a committee specifically for housing and transportation. I thank him again for that.
Thank you. I've got Legislator Stewart. Are you on mute, Legislator Stewart?
Thank you, Chair Uchitel. I just wanted to add my two cents in by saying that I think it's a really great idea to have housing and transportation together in a separate committee. I hope the chair will consider placing me on that committee. I wanted to let the body know that I am currently working on two initiatives related to housing and emergency housing. One of these is a home rule request that Legislative Counsel Christopher Rigucci has created language that would exempt tenants, or excuse me, that would exempt people who are staying in motels in Ulster County as emergency housing. It would exempt those people from being considered tenants, and therefore those people would be able to stay in their accommodations for more than the 30-day period, which currently, once they reach 30 days, they're forced to relocate. And if we could pass this home rule request, it would allow those people to stay in their accommodations and not be moved around every 30 days, which I think would add a great deal of stability to those people's lives. And in addition to that, it would also save the county enormous sums of money and time and effort in shuffling these people around every month. So I'm hoping that is something that we could proceed with, and I will be working with Chair Criswell and legislative clerk Fabella on that initiative. Another thing that I've reached out to both Comptroller Gallagher and County Executive Metzger about is a plan to, or I shouldn't say it's a plan, but it's a request that the county enforce its own laws and collect penalties from the owners of short-term rentals who have not registered with the county to pay bed tax. Those owners are subject to up to $1,000 penalty for, you know, not registering with the county. And I've heard anywhere from $650,000 to $1 million could possibly be received if we were to collect those funds. So those are two initiatives that I'm working on. And again, I hope that the chair will consider placing me on that committee. I also have to say I was very disappointed to hear one of our colleagues make such disparaging remarks about this body and our county and our state. And I just think that's unnecessary. And if that is how that legislator truly feels, I question why he would want to serve in this body. And I just found that very upsetting. So thank you for hearing me out.
Legislator Kitchen.
Yes, good evening. On a positive note, I do want to say that I had the opportunity to visit the warming shelter in Kingston on Elmendorf Street and met with Jeannie Edwards there, who gave me a tour of the facility. What a remarkable place in the bottom of that church. Brand new floors, the kitchen. When I was there, she had a big pot of soup on the stove and was preparing lunch and meals for these people. The place was spotless. Her and her team do a tremendous job. She's really took this program and really ran with it. People come in, they have their own tote that their belongings go into. Their clothes get immediately washed. They get showers. I just felt a really good presence there, to be honest with you. And she, through a conversation I would had with her recently, earlier today, through that program, they were able to get 7 individuals into rehabilitation for substance abuse. And I just really think that she's really got the a big heart and loves what she does. And I had a thankful for the pleasure to meet with her there. The second thing I'd like to bring up, I would like to echo what my colleague, Legislator McCullough, had said. We had a conversation earlier. As far as homelessness goes, myself and him have both witnessed where people are placed into facilities, but their needs are more than just a roof over their head. There is mental health issues, lack of case management, absentee case management. Some of these bigger complexes, yes, they have maintenance people and they have their people there around the clock, but they're really not there and tailored to the individual's needs that live in these big complexes. So I just want to say I agree with Legislator McCullough. With some of the homeless housing and things like that, I think we also need to look at the mental health and helping some of these people, the hygiene issues and other things like that. They just can't be, you know, always left unattended, and there should be more assistance for them. I think that's important. So that's all I have to say. I'm looking forward to maybe working with Legislator McCullough this year to maybe work on some of those issues.
Anyone else? Okay, so, all right. Anyone else who is speaking for the first time before we go for folks speaking for a second time? Okay, so I just want to say on my side, because chairs of committees do get to speak, unlike the chair of the legislature, which has to swap out a vice chair in order to speak, so I will take advantage of that. It has not just been enriching developers, so be careful of what you hear if you're in the audience here. We actually have passed, I was very, very honored to partner with Minority Leader Roberts and Legislator Stewart last year to pass a resolution that created a fund to help people who are facing eviction if they've fallen on hard times. We created a fund that pairs funding for rental arrears with legal services and with case management. So that was a very exciting program that is in place right now. We've been trying everything, and we're going to keep trying everything. I will also say that as I previously chaired the committee that oversaw housing, I also volunteered as to deliver food every single week, to deliver food to the emergency housing hotels. So to say that the folks that are doing this work aren't actually in the emergency housing hotels is just not true. And we just heard multiple examples of legislators that have been in the shelters, been in the hotels. All right, anyone speaking for a second time or a first time? Legislator Maloney.
Yep. I know I upset people when I'm honest, and in order to be a legislator or to serve, you have to believe that we're doing God's work and we're doing a great job. And people all over the country are sick and tired of elected officials, of politicians, because we don't understand logistics anymore, what it takes to make something happen. So many career politicians, even on the local level. We have so many people on the town and county level that really this is like their only job. When you look into their work history, it's a little shaky. It's just amazing. It's why our bridges, we have the worst bridges in the state. We just bought a building. That's what we're doing about housing. We bought Elizabeth Street for $700,000. Now we're going to pay to knock it down and maybe build it back up with more tax dollars. Penrose is the billion-dollar developer over there to Golden Hill that came in promising to do all these things that we've ended up doing ourselves. They can't even build a gate. We have – it's not the surrounding counties, Dutchess, Orange, Green. They don't house their home. They house people in our jail. We let them at a loss. But they don't house their homeless in our flea bag motels. Our flea bag motels are filled up, so we're now busing and driving people to other counties to keep our homeless there. We are, per capita, doing the worst job in the region, and on top of it, the people are living in absolute squalor. I was up at the Sky Top the other day, dropping off a grill. The person I picked the grill up from was giving it away online because her family's about to be homeless. They're being booted out of their place. We need to acknowledge what's going on. We've done nothing. Woodstock has done a pretty good job controlling short-term rentals. We should have gotten involved a long time ago helping these towns do the same. That's a little thing. The real thing that nobody up here wants to talk about is the border. That's why there's nowhere to live. That's why all these places are filled up. Look at the numbers. Go into the city of Kingston. Go into the village of Saugerties and look at what's really going on, why rents are where they're at, and why there's nowhere to live. And we respond to that by having an exec and a sheriff that will not even cooperate with immigration and customs. And we don't have the backbone to even talk about it. Our capital projects are all over budget and behind. I go to meeting after meeting and watch little to no questions about tens of millions of dollars in spending. If this was a business, we would have went out a long time ago. And if the people in this room want to feel good about themselves, like we're actually doing something, go right ahead. Most people in the county knows that's not true, and they stopped paying attention a long time ago. We could do whatever we want up here, and we do, and we continue to be elected because there's just no one paying attention anymore. We lost their attention a long time ago. They have no faith in us. And if they do have a question, they'll talk to a county worker. And after the worker tells them how underpaid they are, they'll tell them what's really going on. Talk to the rank and file about how well these departments are being run and what a good job and how much better we could be doing. But we don't want to do that. Sit up here. We talked about the parking lot earlier. How about the 9 spaces that aren't even – we never voted on that. The people up here have never wanted to do anything because the people in power have a spot, a sign with their title on it, even though we've never even voted to allow that. Just so everyone knows, if you can't find a spot, especially if you're 80 or 90 or you're a pregnant woman and you're coming to the county office building to renew your license or whatever, if one of those spots is open and four out of the 5 days a week our chairman's spot is open, go ahead and park there because they can't legally do anything to you. because it's an illegal sign they have up. But they put that sign up so they have somewhere to park. That is a microcosm of the county itself. We have this issue. We have employees and elderly people walking 4 and 5 blocks getting tickets to go to the county office building. And our response is not to fix the problem, not to hook up the machines we have in the basement of this building and actually have a structure to the parking lot. We set up signs for our elite, for our political elites, so they have a guaranteed spot to park in. That's how government works. And that's how government has worked for far too long. And that's why I'm sitting here alone in the middle, because I don't go around saying we're doing a great job, and we're paying people right, and we're doing things about infrastructure and housing. And it will be a lottery. The hundreds of people that, first of all, hundreds of people are being turned away. They're living in their cars. They're living in the woods. And when Penrose, the billion-dollar developer, finally does build a couple hundred units up on Golden Hill, I asked the planning director the other day if there will be a citizen requirement. No, there won't be. We're actually going to move non-citizens into that building. The rest will be a lottery. Rochester, New York City, Albany, Buffalo, a lot of individuals, you know, lucky individuals from there will now move to Ulster County. If 1% of the people in these shelters right now ends up on Golden Hill, I'd be shocked. This is a joke. This is all pretend. We have no idea what to do about housing. We love the word. We don't know what it means. We love the word. And the American dream is not to live in a 12-story affordable housing complex either. The American dream is a home. It's a house. And we are getting further and further and further away from that. So, everybody, let's celebrate ourselves. Back to the celebration.
I've got Legislator Stewart followed by Nolan and Hewitt.
Thank you, Legislator Guichetel. I just wanted to quickly echo the comments of the minority leader in saying that, you know, I think it is definitely should be a priority of the county to look into a warming center in the southern portion of the county. So that was just a quick salute to the minority leader. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I'd like to call for claims that are made to this body to be backed up with evidence, with findings that can be circulated to all the legislators and to the committees, so that any claim that has merit can become the focus of some problem solving. It's very easy to identify a problem or even to create a problem where none exists. But solving problems is more difficult. And it often works much better in collaboration, not just calling out the name of a problem and saying that nobody's ever done anything on it, nobody is ever going to do anything on it, and we might as well throw up our hands, or in some cases might even just leave because it's so terrible. Well, I don't think that many of the problems that have been identified in this body tonight are actually in that category of, first, I'm not even sure all of them exist. I would like to see some documentation of a problem at the border that has any relationship to housing in Ulster County, unless there's a border between New York City and Ulster County, which I'm not aware of, because as far as I understand, the data that I've seen, and we looked at it in the housing subcommittees, was that most of the housing problem in Ulster County that has burgeoned happened during the COVID pandemic and before, primarily from people from New York City and places south of the county moving into the county and displacing people that were already here. There are very few people who are registered to try to find housing in our housing programs that are not documented as either residing here or have citizenship there. I don't know where a claim about that would come from, because I've seen no data that would substantiate the basis of it. And it makes me think that some of the other so-called hundreds of this or thousands of that that are being presented as though there's data on that, that they may be equally lacking in that factual basis. So everybody's entitled to an opinion.
an elected official is entitled to the time that they get to present their opinion, but if they want to convince anybody to work with them and they want to actually solve problems, I think it takes more than that.
Legislator Hewitt.
Am I allowed to respond to that since it was directed at me?
You can raise your hand and then you'll be in the queue. Do you want to speak? Do you want to speak and do you want to be in the queue to speak next?
Yes.
Thank you. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I also appreciate backup to claims. In our last meeting, there was a lot of claims being made that I requested backup for. In fact, a piece of paper was flashed around. The next day, I said, can you please give me a copy of that paper? I never received that paper or any backup, and I believe all those claims were false. I appreciate you, Legislator Ushetel, for saying we should be careful about what we hear in here because there are blatant lies happening. I talked to union members who are in our hallway spreading blatant lies that were said here on this floor. It's just not true. We've heard many times that nobody's visiting hotels or warming centers. Most of us have been there, but we don't need to prove it every month. I think it's disingenuous to blame problems on Ulster County when we have a national crisis of escalating costs like healthcare costs that go up and up every month without regulation on how much they go up. And yet we don't have income that's keeping up with these costs. So let's remember this is a national crisis.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney.
I've been hearing it for years. Burt Goldnick's in jail right now. Some of the same people in this room fought me for years. I brought out documentation, was all there. The very people saying they want to see proof, they saw it was laminated. He's now in jail for it. 701 Grand Avenue, Paradise Lane, the ARPA funds that were given away. It goes on and on. I was told in meetings, we saw a big, beautiful article. It finally happened. A reporter, Roscoe Smos, finally came to me to the Skytop to see how these people were living. Executive Chris Kelly and some of these very people in this room saying it wasn't true, the things I was saying. There wasn't pedophiles. There wasn't bugs. There wasn't boom, boom rooms. These people weren't living this way. Turns out it was true, and then things started happening after it got reported. Then you guys had to acknowledge it. As far as I mentioned bridges a minute ago, are you saying there's not a DOT report that just came out that flagged more bridges in Ulster County than anywhere else? Are you saying that's not true? Are you saying that Dean Fabiano and one of the heads of the bridge crew didn't go to Tracy Bartels and Jen Metzger on several occasions with a plan? Are you saying that we've stopped cleaning the bottom of those bridges every winter, and that's one of the reasons people are saying in DPW that our bridges are breaking down and we should start doing that again? Nothing ever ends up happening. That's your committee, by the way. We're talking, and then the things about the not-for-profit that I'm hearing isn't true. I gave away 10 packets. We want me to make 400 comedy trees you want me to kill. I gave 10 packets away during the last meeting. I'm sorry you didn't get one. I'll get you another. And what it was photographs of disgusting food. I just got another one yesterday. The one of the individuals that I was going and checking the food that Community Action was sending them that was, first of all, half the time the food doesn't show up. Second of all, it shows up, it's cold and disgusting. And I had pictures so you could see the disgusting food we're paying for. Then there were things about $40,000 left over. I gave printouts, literal copies of the documentation that shows these $10,000 payments with the leftover money to people that actually worked at the not-for-profit. That's what I was told by board members happened. So I printed out the documentation. And then you people have the nerve to sit up here and say, after all I've been right about, after all I've proved, and people going to jail and all the hundreds of thousands of dollars we've renegotiated after I brought out facts, after I'm literally, and you choose to talk about something that I literally just handed packets out with copies of, like 17 different pictures of 17 different drop-offs of food, some of which I took myself, and then the documentation that proved the concern about the finances and what they're doing with our hard-earned tax dollars. And you're going to sit there and say there's no evidence. Give me a break.
So before we continue, I, as chair of this committee, am going to start enforcing that we speak on germane we speak in a way that is germane to the fact that we are talking about creating the standing committees for 2025. So if you're not talking about creating standing committees, what the committee should be, what they should be called, what they should be focused on, all right, then I'm going to cut you off. All right, I've got Legislator Sperry next.
Oh, thank you, Legislator Yushtal. I was actually going to bring us back to the point that we were talking about a resolution creating the standing committees for the year 2025, and I'd actually like to call the question.
Okay.
If that's possible.
So what you can do, you can call the question. It requires a vote. So I'm hearing you throw that out there. Let's hold off and see if – give me 1 second. Are there any other speakers here tonight? Otherwise, I will call for the vote, and we don't need to go through that process.
Please.
Does anyone else want to speak on resolution number one? We're off to a great start this year. Okay, then I am going to call the question. And with a voice vote, I'm going to ask – all those are in favor, then I'll ask all those opposed. And if you're opposed, I'd ask you to raise your hand so that I can just keep track of this all. So all those in favor of resolution number one.
Can you call long roll in committee of the whole?
I don't want to call a long roll.
I'll call it.
You can't because I'm chairing this committee. So I'm going to call for a voice vote. That's what I'm hearing from council. And all those in favor.
Aye.
Does council agree there's no that you're the only one that can call a long roll?
Not compelled.
So all those opposed? We have one opposed.
Can I just quickly explain why I'm opposed?
1 minute.
Okay. Can you put a minute up there
I've
for me?
I've got my watch.
Yeah, there you go. So I do hope that when the chair considers how we're going to do these, I think we need diversity on these different committees. When I say that, what we ended up doing the last couple of terms, and it wasn't the first chair to do it, is you end up with the same people on all the powerful committees, so you really don't get any checks and balances whatsoever. And you really want that. You want a different group on ways and means, a different group on laws and rules. You don't necessarily want somebody chairing laws and rules and serving on ways and means because it's so important. I don't think we should go back to back. We're constantly rushing through meetings and not really going over things and challenging the millions of dollars that are being spent. They should be on separate nights. And I can't watch people stuff into the binder library anymore with masks on and not have enough room to sit down. I don't understand why all our meetings aren't out here in chambers. I think we'd be a lot better off. We might even be more people from the community if it was more of a friendly, bigger place to come and watch our standing committees. That's more important. Once it gets up here, it is decided what's going
Thank
to happen for the most
Lord.
Part. Thank you for treating me like everybody else, Abe.
Thank you so much. I would now like to entertain a motion to adopt resolution number two, designation of official newspapers. Do I have a motion to adopt? Moved by Legislator Levine, seconded by Legislator Harmon. Any discussion on designating the official newspapers? All right, if there's no discussion on this, then I will call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I ask you to raise your hand. Okay, that one is unanimous. Thank you so much. I would now like to entertain a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole. Moved by Legislator Clinton, seconded by Legislator Sperry. All those in favor of adjourning the Committee of the Whole?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all so much. I've been a joy.
Thank you again, Majority Leader. We are now going to move to public comments on matters not currently before the legislature. Again, I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak. This period is on issues not before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone please keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up?
We're going to vote on the resolution.
Say it again. I thought we voted on this.
That was in committee. Now we have to do them
on the floor.
Oh, in session. Got it. Sorry, we have to do one more thing. So that was in committee that we voted. Now we have to vote on the resolutions on the floor.
Resolution 1, creating standing committees for the year 2025.
We are a short yes.
We are a short yes, 1 no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. Resolution number 2, designation of official newspapers.
We are a short yes.
Clerk, if you don't mind me speaking on the resolution. Mr. Sure. Chair. Thank you, sir. It was an honor to take part in this process and pick in the newspapers. Once again, we Minority Caucus picked Southern Ulster Publishing. I'd just like to add one point to it. Hopefully both newspapers run fair and balanced articles about the MSW crisis and how the people of Worthing, who are sitting right over here to my left, do not want a landfill in their town.
And can you tell us the vote? Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 23-0.
All right. Now I'm going to move us on. Thank you for that. All right. Now we are moving on to public comment on issues not before the legislature. You heard my whole spiel, so I'm not going to say it again. Clerk Fabella, do we have anybody signed up?
We do. We have 9 speakers signed up.
Okay. Thank you.
The first speaker is Zach Courtright.
Nerve-wracking. I also know it's going to be 2 minutes, so I'm going to read an emotional appeal, but it's also going to sound very monotonous because I'm going to be reading off of my notes. Thank you. So again, we're here talking about the Worthing landfill. We're going to try to be really concise and chaptered with each speaker. So I'm going to be talking about environmental impact, and I think we also gave Victoria some handouts for everybody. That's my overall statement. Okay. So my name is Zach Courtright. I live in on Old Greenfield Road in Greenfield Park, Worthing, directly across from the proposed site of Milk Road's landfill. I'm here to implore you to halt this process and recognize that this project is an environmental catastrophe waiting to happen. And, you know, as we mentioned tonight, you know, I'm watching family and friends losing everything in L.A. And thousands of natural land destroyed by fires. And we're talking about actively destroying our own natural resources, building a new landfill. This isn't hypothetical. The EPA, independent studies, and a recent CUNY report all confirm the devastating consequences of landfills for a community. We're talking about the release of dangerous gases like methane, hydrogen sulfide gases that cause respiratory illnesses, headaches, nausea, along with volatile compounds, and carcinogens that continue to be discovered. This isn't a distant future speculation. It's our reality if this landfill is approved. But the air pollution is just the tip of the iceberg. Toxic leachate created when rainwater filters through the waste will inevitably contaminate our precious water. Our aquifers, streams, and ponds are directly threatened. The Hurdle and Cortez landfills, both Superfund sites, stand as stark warnings of the permanent damage these facilities cause. Even with the best liners, the EPA states that they will fail within 30 years, leaving a toxic legacy for our generations, condemning our children and their children to poison water. This landfill will also destroy irreplaceable 13 seconds. Wildlife habitats, the disruption to the delicate ecosystem is going to devastate our local wildlife, which should be protected. We're talking about, you know, devastating consequences for deer, black bears, countless bird species. The DEC's approval relies on outdated maps and demonstrates a history of insufficient scrutiny, overlooking environmental concerns. This site is surrounded by primary aquifers and wetlands, making the risk of catastrophic water contamination almost certain. There is a substantial risk of this landfill becoming yet another environmental disaster, saddling future generations with cleanup costs and long-term health impacts. This isn't about inconvenience. It's about the irreversible destruction of our community and our environment. This landfill poses a profound and unacceptable risk. We must reject this short-sighted plan and demand a more responsible approach to waste management. We deserve better than a toxic legacy. Thanks.
The next speaker is Tony Vieira.
Got me this smartwatch. My heart rate is at over 100, so I hope I don't croak up here. And it's a good thing I'm not a politician, I'll tell you that for sure. I see what you guys got to go through, man. It's tough. Okay. A little closer. Okay, my name is Anthony Vieira. I reside in Greenfield Park, directly across from the proposed site on Milk Road landfill. My home is situated in what is designated as a low-impact residential area on the cornerstone study maps and omitted from those assessments along with many other homes along Milk Road. 10-acre property is a treasured legacy passed down to me from my late father, who acquired this in 1975. It was a beloved passion project. He transformed his undeveloped land into a farm sanctuary, planting over 200 fruit trees that include apple, pears, chestnuts. I grace the property today. Raised in Portuguese countryside, my father sought a refuge from city life. This property... Sure. How can I hold it up like that? Now it's, there we go. So raised in fresh air, fertile land, and abundant wildlife, provided within the tranquility and connection to nature he loved. My family and friends enjoyed growing up on this land and cherished the many fond memories we have here. I grew up enjoying fresh fruits and vegetables from my father's garden, savoring eggs from chickens and playing with the animals kept on the land. Since my father's passing in 2021, I have dedicated myself to restoring the property to the sanctuary he envisioned and planned to enjoy my retirement there. The property, the proposed landfill, is a direct threat to community and lifestyle we have been accustomed to for many years. It will increase truck congestion, deteriorate roads, and create hazardous passing conditions on our one-lane roads. Many rural areas, landfills, and in New York have problems with illegal waste, poor oversight and management, and a history of violations that are facing expensive lawsuits. We have a responsibility to protect our community, our environment, and the legacy that also come before us. The proposed landfill is not just an environmental threat. It is a personal assault on my family's legacy. I urge you to please reject this project and explore alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Poppy Cannon Reese. Hi,
my name is Poppy Cannon Reese, and I bought a property directly downhill from the proposed Milk Road landfill site in 2019. As the director of the costume rental division at Universal Studios, I lived in one of the canyons in Los Angeles and was a California resident my entire life. My father was an irrigation engineer and made me acutely aware of the impending water problems, and as the fires grew bigger over my lifetime and more destructive, I felt I had to move. If a fire came up my canyon, there would be no way out. My son and I purchased our property together as a legacy location for children, grandchildren, and generations to come. We chose this part of Ulster County as a beautiful, affordable option. I have found more community here than I ever found in LA. And as the executive board member of the Coalition of Forward-Facing Ellenville, I have personally facilitated 15 artist meet and greets in our town, all free and open to the public. This landfill will affect our quality of life and our property values, negatively impacting our beautiful property due to negative perceptions and real health concerns affecting homeowners and the local economy. It will create pest problems, attracting rodents, insects, and other pests which can infest our land and nearby homes and throw off the balance of natural wildlife. It will bring noise pollution from machinery and vehicular traffic and will generate noise disturbances, altering the peace of our neighborhood, and it will create an odor and visual blight. Noxious odors from landfills significantly reduce the use and enjoyment of outdoor spaces and quality of life for residents and visitors. Anyone who lives near Seneca Meadows will agree. We strongly feel that Cornerstone Engineering misrepresented the site as viable when it is not and should look elsewhere. Please do not support the Milk Road landfill or vote for any bonds to fund it. The fact that they're testing in March is not the proper time to test the traffic in that area. We are in the Hasidic camp area. It needs to be tested. The traffic needs to be tested in June and July because it's a whole different landscape then. And I'm very concerned that Mark Ryder has put out 26 bids on the construction of this project and is starting the testing next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Reuben Bouchard.
Hi, everybody. My name is Reuben Bouchard, and I've lived on Steam Hollow in Wawarising for some years. Can somebody bring me my sign? Being raised by a single teenage mom on food stamps as a kid, I've experienced struggle firsthand. A college scholarship redirected my path, and so I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I'm grateful, though, because this gives me an opportunity to give back and help speak up for other folks who struggle. As our elected legislators, please join us in continuing to serve all folks in our community. Other counties have often built their landfills near low-income folks. The census tells us that Wawarsing is a community that struggles financially and with elevated health issues. Plus, we're sandwiched between two prisons. We have a chance to do it differently this time. Let's not add the burden of a landfill on our residents' already burdened shoulders. This area of the Catskills has a rich and storied past with diverse folks living here, and there's a new flourishing that's happening all around us. A landfill would stunt our growth and limit our opportunities. I'm not sure how UCRAA, HydroQuest, Cornerstone, etc., determined that our area would be the best spot for a landfill. This is not a remote area. There are a lot of people here. 52 and Milk Road are our main arteries. The water around us is all connected. Why not put the landfill away from where people live and work and farm? We have a farmer here. Like I said before, let's not repeat the mistakes of other counties. By not supporting this landfill here in Wawarsing, citizens and our elected legislatures together send a strong message that our community and its environment are worthy of protection, that our blood, sweat, and tears to improve businesses, homes, and property shape the future of our community for the better. Let's team up, residents and representatives, to block this landfill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew Faust.
Good evening, Al. I am a resident in the town of Wawarsing, and I am also the co-director of the Rondell Creek Watershed Alliance and the chair of the Town of Wawarsing and Village Bellinville Democratic Committee. And I've been teaching a lot for the past 20 years about ecological planning and design, and I can tell you that landfills are not part of that, and that 1% of the water on the planet's surface is actually drinkable, and that land and water are the most precious resource that we're leaving to future generations. And what we need to do is divert waste, and the waste problem is a national problem, and the way this county wants to deal with it is dated, antiquated, and toxic. And at the end of the day, as my colleagues have said here, you end up with broken liners and contaminated aquifers. And what we have to accept is that we need to get organics out of trash, not just up here at UCRA, but throughout the entire county. We need to tax incentivize it. We need to get it in Littman Park. We need to get it at every transfer station. We need to get organics out of trash. Do you know what the percentage is according to the federal government? 60% of the waste stream, source separable organics. That's where the methane comes from. 20 times worse for climate change than carbon is. All you have to do is get organics out of trash. You create green jobs. You create fertile farms. You create biodigester facilities, which also create energy and green jobs and capture that methane instead of wasting it as a really valuable resource for our energy regimen. And as colleagues have said here, future Superfund sites are what we're looking at when we approve a landfill. And if you'd like to approve that, then that will be your legacy by approving this landfill in the town of Wawarsing, when in fact what we need to do is divert organics, get plastics out of trash, ban plastics in Ulster County, and get smart about the fact that the waste problem is not going away, and just creating a giant pile of trash at the southern end of this county is not an acceptable solution to the problem. We need organics out, we need green jobs, and we need proactive solutions to cleaning up our waste stream, not leaving it as a toxic mess for future generations to inherit. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Anna Mott.
Good evening, my name is Anna Mott. I'm an attorney and I live with my 10-year-old son on Steam Hollow Road in Wawarsing, a mile and a half from the proposed landfill site. We have 18 acres of land that we take care of. Coming from the city, my parents' dream was to be able to provide our family with clean air, clean water, and clean soil to grow healthy organic food. And it means everything to me to be able to protect the integrity of this beautiful land for many generations. I've watched this rural neighborhood develop into the community it is today, and it is continuing to grow. New neighbors are moving in all the time, building houses and taking care of their land. This is not an out-of-the-way, unpopulated area, and a landfill would adversely affect the lives and health of many, many people in both Ulster and Sullivan counties. As of January 2022, the New York State Constitution includes a Green Amendment, which provides that each person shall have a right to clean air and water and a healthful environment. Placing a landfill in a populated area violates the constitutional rights of that population. No matter how many safety measures are put in place, landfills are inherently pollutants to the surrounding air, water, land, people, and animals. If this has been deemed the only suitable place in Ulster County for a landfill, then perhaps Ulster County is not suited for a landfill at all. Other proposed sites have failed, and just because this looks like the last resort, it cannot be pushed through when it is not a suitable location. The proposed area contains DEC-mapped wetlands, farmlands, and entire neighborhoods full of homes. The roads cannot withstand the traffic, especially with the multiplied summer population. The stretch of Route 52 is already dangerous, and increased truck traffic will only exacerbate this problem. The pollution will create a public and private nuisance and health problems for the human and animal population. Nuisance lawsuits are based on the unreasonable interference with the use and enjoyment of property, and this is exactly what a landfill will do. It would violate the principles of environmental justice, it will create public health and safety issues, and expose Ulster County to liability for the dangers caused by this landfill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rachel Gans.
Hi, my name is Rachel Gans. I've owned a home in Bloomington for 25 years, and I came to speak about a few urgent needs in our county. I know each of you care about housing, but it remains a critical issue with far too many unhoused in our prosperous community. It's not too much to ask that everyone have stable housing and clean water. There's far too much influence by housing developers and investors here. My friends that are builders have no shortage of work building million-dollar homes and porches that cost more than my house. The water isn't safe in the many hotels for the unhoused and rentals in working-class homes. There are rent hikes for storage units in this county. This is impacting the most vulnerable amongst us, as when people are evicted and displaced, they become unhoused, and storage units often contain priceless and needed items for when they're priced out. And DSS doesn't help. Personal items are auctioned. There should be public storage options. I know there must be complexities in negotiations, but every hour of pay for our people matters. Let's increase the pay for our county workers now and give back pay or bonuses for the time that this has been taking. This county is defunding our youth while ever increasing funding to policing. People are turned away or putting on wait lists for Head Start programs, and there's no transportation for Head Start. Unhoused youth in the hotels are greatly impacted by this. Your creative people find funding and prioritize resources for our youth. Please stop making up more disparate things for the Sheriff's Department to do and instead allocate money to pay more teachers, social workers, and bus drivers. I can't understand how this prioritization is happening. Finally, Ulster County needs to work on reparations. New York State is working on this, and since Ulster fought hard to keep the violent system of slavery intact, it needs to be one of the first counties to make reparations. If you don't know Ulster's shameful history on this, watch the 2018 documentary Where Slavery Died Hard. I urge you to reach out to the New York State Commission studying reparations for the state and ask them to come here to Ulster and hear from impacted people. Thank you.
Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Stana Weisberg.
Good evening. I want to thank everybody who spoke before me and second what was just said. My name is Stana Weisberg. I'm a trustee of the Village of New Paltz, though I'm speaking as an individual tonight and not for the board. On December 20th, Ulster County Government posted a social media about Homeless Persons Memorial Day. This type of post, while well-meaning, felt tone-deaf and frustrating to many of us. Clearly, from what has transpired this evening, I hear how hard you've been working on making affordable housing a reality. I recognize it takes time and work to bring things to fruition. Please keep doing all you can to make our community more affordable throughout the county in creative and varied ways. I particularly want to thank legislators McCullough, Kitchen, and others for pointing out the need to coordinate supportive services in warming centers. We want to know that we have a place for our neighbors in need nearby. I'm here and have invited my neighbors to join me in making public comments and writing to the legislature about this. Clearly, you have heard from us. Many of us have been pooling money to help our neighbors in need, and this is untenable. So the immediate ask is for us to have more than one warming center in Ulster County. We cannot expect our neighbors in need to find a place to stash all of their worldly possessions that are more than the two bags allowed in a warming center, get into a cop car, and go to Kingston, far away from their community and everything that keeps them afloat. We need choices. And really, I would like one in New Paltz, but something has to be on the other side of the mountain as well, you know, in Ellenville or something like that. But you guys can figure that out. I'm also asking that Ulster County purchase a trailer with a couple of showers and a laundry facility that can be used around the county similarly to the DMV bus. There could be a regular schedule of where it is on certain days for our neighbors in need and available for emergencies as well. I think this is a low-cost, reasonable option and don't see a downside. We just need spots with water and sewer hookups. I've spoken about this with a few of you, as well as Michael Madison, our county's emergency manager. I'm hoping to meet with Laura Nordstrom, our new director of housing and homelessness, soon as well. I look forward to working with you to make these things and more a reality. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening? Yes, sir.
Hello. My name is Devin Blegbro. I live in Wawarsing, and it's interesting that we've had two different main topics here tonight. One of them where people are trying to protect their homes, and other one where people are trying to look out for homes for other people. And I could see that there's a bridge between those two. But what I don't understand is why the presence of putting a landfill has become a partisan issue, one where I would expect the typically known as pro-environmental people are taking more of the let's pollute our land. When you do that, you're going to damage water, you're going to damage land, and you're talking about doing it with using eminent domain to kick people out. So I didn't really have a speech prepared, but I felt I needed to get up here and point out it seems a little two-sided. I would like you to consider that both of those issues really kind of go hand in hand. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on issues? Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm Jim McIntyre from down in Ellenville area. I will not be personally impacted by this landfill, but it's just sitting here and listening tonight and supporting my neighbors, I'm really struck by what was said earlier, and I just wanted to come up and reinforce it to you. And that was the concept that, you know, we sit here and we think, well, nobody wants a freaking landfill. It's got to be somewhere. Who are we going to decide based upon who we're going to screw least? What's the fewest number of people we're going to impact? You heard a man talk tonight about alternatives, about green ways of dealing with this, about courageous ways of dealing with this, about looking into alternatives and maybe setting a standard that other places, other counties, other states can follow. You have a chance to be courageous. You have a chance to be bold. You have a chance to say the people of this area are important. No one deserves it. If we can do it better, let's do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature? Yes, sir. We ask you to please state your name at the microphone. Thank you.
Good evening. It's nice to see all legislators show up this evening. My name is Chad McPeak. I'm a county employee. I'm torn between what to talk about. I've been here in the last couple of legislative meetings regarding a salary increase, but I had the joy of sitting here with one of my colleagues and other people from the general public and watched the Democratic caucus prepare for the annual knighting of the chair and all the other positions, and I couldn't but help there's more people on the left side than there is on the right. So even if unanimously you vote, and unanimously you vote, there's no way of changing it. So I thought about, like, approaches I've used in the past to get people that don't talk to each other or ordinarily wouldn't deal with each other. And it's like a lottery of everyone. And you just pick it out, and maybe Jimmy is hanging out with John, and John and Jimmy don't like each other, but they have to work on something, right? So let's look at it like a Republican and a Democrat, right? Working together. It's unique. I personally feel that regardless of what the letter is next to your name, you're an individual representing people of vast differences. So you got to figure out a better solution than what we got in front of us, because it's never going to work. Some people like to publicly speak nice and proper, and other people are so pissed off that they don't know how to control it, and it comes out where maybe some people don't like the approach. I happen to appreciate both, and I think one, if you got more support, would get more accomplished. The other thing I'd like to bring out is affordable housing. I know people who live in affordable housing areas, projects done in Ulster County, right here in Kingston, and I'm not sure what the definition of affordable housing in your opinion is, but it's not affordable. You know, it's well over what a mortgage payment is. By my standards, when I bought a house, let alone what we have to pay now because of the increased market, because people were paying way more than what it was worth as a result of COVID. You know, unfortunately, with greed, how do you say you can't sell your house for $400 or $400,000 if somebody's willing to pay for it, you know? But somehow, some way, you guys can all work together. You know, having 15 people with differences and 9 people with differences, you're never going to get the problem resolved, you know. Like I said, I could sit here and complain about where we're at financially for the people that work for the county.
Thank you for your comments, sir. If you could wrap up, I'd appreciate that.
Wrap it up. Certainly think there's a lot of things that need to be focused on. Congratulations on another successful chairing.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on matters not before the legislature tonight? Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Mark Ryder from Rifton, town of Esopus. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the executive director of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. My intention was to come tonight and listen, but I do want to clarify a couple things. So while we are out with the request for proposals that comes back on the 24th, and we've had somewhat robust interest, 26 firms have at least downloaded. It will be a long process to even select the engineer. We do not plan on having any traffic studies or anything done before summer. So we acknowledge that we understand the traffic patterns are different in Ellenville and Worsing in the summer. We're not rushing this to get to March, April. I did hear someone say that we would potentially do this through eminent domain. The DEC has changed regulations and said they will not permit a landfill that's been taken by eminent domain. And when I've come out to talk to the town of Worsing, I've been clear that's not on the table. We would need to negotiate with property owners. I encourage all of you to reach out to me. My email address is MRID. I have some cards, but it's MRID@UCRRA.org. And I'll also give you my cell. My business cell, I don't have it memorized. But I do appreciate we are listening, and I thank you for coming out.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening? Sir,
do we allow?
Sure. Again, Chad McPeak. So I heard a couple things that were interesting tonight. One was a mobile response for laundry and showering. So in sitting in my little comfortable chair over there, I was thinking that perhaps as opposed to getting a DMV van or something similar that's not practical to have to go around, perhaps speaking with and contracting with the local laundromats because they're already developed, they're there, and I'm sure that there's ways of getting some tax incentive or financial reward, and you're accomplishing that. And the other one was being in the construction field. I happen to work at the Golden Hill Building, do remodels, and I see all the projects going. Some unique approach would be like creating jobs in Ulster County that are affordable, right, and give you money and allow you to prosper, because nobody that lives here and works in Ulster County can afford to live here unless you bought pre-2020 or you're a trust fund baby or something along those lines. So my thought is, here we have all this company building these massive housing projects where you could create these jobs, hire people in the county, and rather than hiring corporate, you know, whatever you want to call them, big companies to come in and develop them, you could create jobs and have people within Ulster County or surrounding counties looking to come here to work, you know. And then, you know, there's certainly projects that need to be done. There's projects that are being done now. And, you know, it's a way of keeping the capital fund projects inside the area to the people that live within the county. You know, it's a crazy thing. I know there's a lot of, like, campaign contributors, so it's a touchy-feely area. But let's be real, right? And if you can't look at it and call an apple for an apple, then maybe you should think about not running next time. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like? Yes, sir. Please state your name in the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chairman. Good day. I'm Roger Ross. I serve on numerous foundations and not-for-profits in Wolworthing and other areas. I've lived in my historic home in that beautiful area for over 16 years, about a quarter of a mile from the Littman Park Recycling Center, so I know a little bit about recycling and dumps. My question today is, if the benchmark for you to make your decisions for unsavory projects are always the disenfranchised or the poorer communities, so to speak, what other unsavory projects are you considering? Can we look forward to in the future? Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening? Seeing none, I'm going to move us on. Oh, yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Kenneth Wayne Cook, Taya Golis. I'm new here. So I'm pretty new here. Actually, just moved to the area. Sorry, a little nervous. Serve on a board for a nonprofit. We have 24 acres on Milk Road. We are trying to reestablish Indigenous people's food systems. Obviously, a large issue here. We don't want a large recycling facility less than 5 miles from us, for sure. By all means, this area is already under so much environmental stressors. We've heard solutions. There's got to be something better, please. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature? Seeing none, I'm going to move us along. I'm going to call on Majority Leader Abe Uchitel to read the names of community members who have recently passed.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. Tonight's meeting is adjourned in memory of Sharon Solis of Marlboro, Joy Lapp of Rosendale, Peter Haig Krepelian of Kingston, Lenore Kane of Kingston, Gary White of Kingston, Kevin B. Rosa Sr. of Saugerties, Louis Juncosa of Poughkeepsie, Filomeno R. Strazulo of Highland, Kevin L. Broadhead of Kingston, Edmund Allen Garfinkel of Sawkill, Phyllis S. Phillips of Pine Bush, Frank Herbert of Ulster, Suzanne Brogden of Sawkill, Victoria Vicky Beach of New Paltz, Dennis Michael Totten of Highland, Joseph Kodich of Saugerties, and Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary fame of Woodstock.
Thank you. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I would like to add Kristen R. Coyen to the memorials. That is the granddaughter of Joe Coyen, who runs the parking booth out here. And just wanted to say that we'll miss Kristen.
Thank you for that addition. Legislator Green.
I just want to put in a word for President Jimmy Carter.
Thank you. All right. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, February 18th, 2025 at 7 p.m. in the Legislative Chambers, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Resolution deadline is Wednesday, January 22nd. I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn our session.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? This meeting is adjourned.